It's time for Your Pet's Health, brought to you by Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital in Moorhead City. Pet Docs, your other family doctor.
Hey, welcome to the program. Good to have you along with us here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station. And as always, if you'd like to call in with your questions about your pet's health, you can do that now.
Call me at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And, of course, from Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital, Dr. Todd Royal. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Well, I want to talk about a topic that's been in the news a lot in the last several years on the human side, so to speak, and sort of undercurrents of discussion in veterinary community, and that is the topic of marijuana and its potential medicinal uses in pets. And you could probably imagine as this sort of thing started rolling over the last, decade or so, and you started seeing some of the states legalize either the medicinal or the recreational now uses of marijuana, that it's been a topic of discussion, for our pets for the same reasons as it is in people. In other words, the uses for medicinal purposes primarily, of course, hopefully, if for our pets in terms of pain management, anxiety, behavioral sort of type of things. This is a lot of things people are talking about, but the problem, as you can imagine, is, and we've talked about this before too, and the AMA, the American Medical Association, has sort of been out on the forefront of this effort for humans. We just don't have enough information about the effects. We don't have, there's a lot of things we lack in terms of knowledge and understanding about how to go about even sort of approaching the potential medicinal uses of marijuana in people or pets. The biggest issue or obstacle, of course, well, probably the biggest issue is the federal law, state laws in a lot of cases, although that seems to be a topic of, change potentially across the country. But some of the issues are, of course, that, that the marijuana itself is a, what's called a Schedule One drug or material, meaning that Schedule One is the most restrictive drug enforcement schedule.
So, so there's lots of legal and medical issues. Let's get back to that in a moment. But first of all, I've got a call, Patsy in Havelock. Hi, Patsy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. I have wanted that treatment for my dog. Isn't it true that if they took it, that it wouldn't be them getting high? It would just be the part that would help them to help their pain. It wouldn't be like they would have this buzz going on. And also, does laser therapy help manage pain in dogs with nerve damage?
Yeah, so let me tackle the easy one, which is the last question. Laser therapy does seem to have it's a solid basis for helping things like nerve damage. What we're talking about here is not laser in the sense of cutting and the high power. These are sort of low power lasers that stimulate. It uses light to stimulate certain aspects of cellular activity, which then helps improve things like blood flow and healing and so forth. We don't, there aren't good standardized studies on how much it helps, what's the best method of utilizing laser to help with those particular types of problems. But yes, it is something that a lot of people are trying to get some benefit from. Now, she's right on the other topic. In other words, and this gets into some of the science, which I'm not by any means an expert, or but then there really aren't maybe a lot of experts. But you have THC, which is the psychoactive part of marijuana, which is the part that gets people high. And then there's the cannabidiol, or CBD, you hear it abbreviated, which is sort of the part that we're talking about that people are trying to study. And there actually are some studies out in Colorado, of course, on the use of CBD at the veterinary school there. But yeah, she's right. That's the compound that we think is potentially useful in helping with pain and some of these other issues that doesn't have the high or the psychoactive aspect of it.
Is that parallel to the same idea of the hemp oil studies?
Exactly, exactly. And there are even muddy legalities between the two different products in terms of, can it be grown versus distributed? And so it's a real muddy area. It's particularly muddy for veterinarians because we're kind of on the fringe of all this. You know, people talk about the legalization and so forth, and they're really talking about people.
You got to get down a couple of layers to get to you guys.
We got to get a couple of layers. But the thing is this. people are already using it.
Mm-hmm.
People are already talking about it. In fact, in some of the states where it is legal, there are reports of neurologists, human neurologists actually using, mm-hmm. making recommendations to people for their pets. Mm-hmm. And that's very dangerous. Not only is it legally not, you know, permissible for them to do so, but we just don't have the information.
Talk about one of the foundational things. You know, we study for medicines and any mm-hmm. number of other products too. We study its effect on animals. And we look at maybe a rat's, and then we
sure.
move up the line
right.
into other kinds of animal structure.
Right.
But you're looking there for how a specific compound perhaps will have a specific effect.
Yes.
This one is so general. I mean, how do you
yeah,
gauge?
Well, it's kind of like some other products that don't have the legal issues where, you know, it's sort of people will sort of attach to it and then they'll start to attribute all kinds of benefits to it. And we're really not sure, you know.
Chondroitin, for example.
Sure.
Just look and see whether or not that. Yeah.
Right. And you need to have a standardization. What is the actual active chemical we're talking about studying?
Right.
How can we make sure that when we give a certain amount of it, that's the amount we're giving?
What's dosage?
The dosages and so forth. And that's the kind of research that's what prompts the AVMA, the AMA to petition to the DEA
mm-hmm.
to, hey, can we reschedule this so that we can then go forward getting federal grants to do research and so forth? It's almost impossible to get that done now with it being a Schedule I. And again, some of the universities in Colorado State,
mm-hmm.
they're starting to do some of this research, but it's still a very restrictive area.
So. Yeah, right. And I wouldn't be surprised if it gets rescheduled.
I wouldn't be either.
The
AMA petitioned last year and they got basically a no answer that it didn't have any medical benefits mm-hmm. and so forth. But I think probably that resistance is going to break down over time, at least in the scheduling department,
mm-hmm.
whether it actually, you know, leads to this legalization. You know, they're kind of two
yeah.
separate issues, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. It's like one's an off ramp of the other.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And what we're really talking about with the things that we see in journals, you know, on a monthly basis really has to do with the scheduling so that we can do the research. And you're talking about, you know, a decade or more before anything useful ever comes of it. But the issue right now is, you know, the legality, obviously, of the use of the product,
mm-hmm.
The legality for the veterinarian, you know,
mm-hmm.
in other words, you know, we aren't law enforcement agents.
Right.
So when people tell us, you know, we encourage people to tell us what they're doing, if they're doing anything, you know,
mm-hmm.
with these products with their pets, because, you know, there are toxicities that we have to be concerned about and we have to be able to understand and recognize what the signs of toxicity are.
Right.
So there's just a lot of stuff sort of in flux with it, but, you know, it's one of those things that seems to be rolling down the pipeline.
Okay. 7:23 in the morning here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. We'll have more to come in just a moment. Hey, welcome back here at Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station. And Dr. Todd Rail from Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital online at PETDOCKS.com, PetDocs.com. You can find it all over social media as well, too, in the Pet Docs app for your phone. How's that going, by the way? It's still going well?
Yeah, still going well. We still have, you know, sort of a little niche of people that tend to use it,
sure.
You know, on a regular basis. And, of course, you know, just everybody has their thing that they like to use, you know,
right.
whether it's Google or Facebook or,
mm-hmm.
you know, the different places that they can find us. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to get a hold of us
mm-hmm.
nowadays.
Okay. But on this past subject, yeah. Just real quickly, we talk about it, we're trying to relieve discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
We have people who can tell you, and they're not very accurate when they describe that level of pain. Give me a 1 to 10 scale.
Oh,
you know that?
Oh yeah.
And it's all over
yeah.
the, you know, what,
absolutely. Yeah.
What everybody
well,
says.
And the challenge we have is that we can't talk to our patient.
Talk to them. Yeah.
And so we're trying to always, in most cases, be overly maybe compensate for the pain issue because we don't want any chance of there being, you know, any pain, in particular. usually we're talking about usually end of life issues and or,
right.
or traumas and that sort of thing. So we're always looking for ways to safe ways to alleviate pain in our pets, and we don't have a lot of great options, but you know we appear to be getting more and more options available to us over time.
Okay, what else did you want to mention?
Well, I want to talk. We probably don't have enough time to go through this, but maybe next week I want to talk about some of the more common cat diseases, because these are the you know five or six different things that affect cats that we see on a regular basis that a lot of people just aren't aware of. I mean, some have, you know, they understand cancer can happen in cats, diabetes and so forth, but most people aren't aware of how common they are. And it's one of these things that when we diagnose one of these issues, one of the first questions we always get is, well, how did this happen? When did this happen?
Yeah.
Why did this happen?
Yeah.
And those are universal questions that people ask. And the fact is, a lot of times there's a genetic basis to this that none of us are even aware of.
Think about how far genetics as a study has come in 50 years. You know,
right.
A lot of things we had no idea were genetic.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, things like heart disease, of course, kidney disease, cancer, those types of things. And then I want to talk maybe a little bit about some of the other things that we can do to try and minimize the risk of those in our cats.
And we get an update on cat and cat face, too, next week. We'll do that as well. Mandy will give us an update there.
Sounds good.
All right, but we'll talk to you then.
Sure. Thanks.
And if you want to find out more about your own pet's health, you want to contact the folks at Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital. You get them by calling 240-3885, finding them online, social media, 252-240-3885.